So a lot of you listeners often ask what my background is, and if you tune in frequently to the podcast, I do talk about it. For those that don't know, I run a marketing company called Bash Solutions, which specializes in custom websites, content creation, and consulting based up here in cold and snowy Rochester, New York. With clients in the wrestling world alone, ranging from Cal Sanderson and Jordan Burroughs to the Nittany Line Wrestling Club and Helen Maroulis, we've been busy over the past decade proving why we're the best and earning trust all throughout the U.S. And we're not limited to wrestling by any means. We help businesses of all shapes and sizes, from barbecue and butcher shops in Arizona like Snowflake Smokehouse to the largest Chevy dealership in the world right here in Rochester, New York, Bob Johnson, and everyone in between. Whether it's building a new custom website or implementing new digital strategies to streamline your business, Bash Solutions is trusted by businesses and brands across the country for a reason. You can learn more about Bash Solutions by visiting bashsolutions.com or head over to Facebook or Instagram and search Bash Solutions to see what we're up to. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bash Mania podcast, or welcome to if this is your first time listening. Today we have Big Ten champ Alex Marinelli on the podcast to talk about his career, his faith, and all that he has going on. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, be sure to subscribe to Bash Mania. And if you enjoy this episode, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts.
It's Bashomania!
Let me tell you something, brother. He gave us everything he had in him tonight. What you gonna do when Bashomania runs wild? Oh, it's gonna be a good one.
And business just picked up here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We have the bull. Alex Marinelli, how are you?
I'm doing great. Sun shining. Back in Iowa City. You know, it's all good. So
not here. We got like three, 4 inches of snow, which isn't bad. But first of all, by the way, where did that nickname, the bull, come from?
Yeah, that actually came from my high school coach. I grew up wrestling in Ohio, and I went to his clubs, which is Team Jordan. So yeah. Jeff Jordan did a lot of like camps and stuff. And then I did a lot of his like elite practices and club practices. And then one night I just like double legged some dude, and he's like, that's the Raging Bull. Like, and then he's like, I gotta call the bull now. So it's always been the bull, or bull like for short or whatever. So I really haven't heard like my name like a whole lot. Like, I haven't heard Alex. Like, it's just like whenever I hear that, it's weird. So.
And, you know, it's funny. I'm glad to have you on this podcast. As I was telling you, like, Chenzo's been a recurring guest. We've got a segment going that's turned into multiple episodes called Coffee Talk, and having so much fun with that. And it's funny the timing of having you on. But as I was telling you, ever since my wife and I watched Alex and Eli documentary last year, I'm like, man, I have to get him on the podcast. So I'm glad the timing worked out. And I really want to dive into a couple of different things throughout your career. Things that I know I'm curious about, I'm sure others are. One of those being, you know, growing up in Ohio, you mentioned the Jordans, and you had a lot of early success. 4-time state champ. Your team was champions all 4 years too, right?
Yeah. We have like a good record going. So
yeah. So I'm curious on regards to that. What do you think led you to that early success? What were some of your kind of keys to victories for that? And also, you know, I heard you in an article talk about being from more of a dysfunctional home and looking for more stability in different areas. And I'm curious how you balance that, right? Because a lot of times you see people who grow up in a home that's not perfect, and they get into trouble, that they fall into bad things, whether it's just maybe it's not even terrible, but it's not success. You found a way to turn all that into success. And I'm curious to hear how you've done that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, first off, I'd start out by saying, you know, my parents, you know, whatever they did, they worked hard. Like, when I say dysfunction, I think a lot of people have, you know, maybe demons they're dealing with or things like that. I mean, life isn't perfect. So I think when I say dysfunctional, you know, maybe it wasn't the best of the best, like, you know, teaching. I don't want to get into too personal stories, but I mean, you know, you just got to take it day by day, and then make make your own destiny, like set your own destiny. Like you can't, you, if you want to break the cycle, you can break the cycle. If your parents are dealing with a lot of struggles, you know, you, that doesn't need to be you. That doesn't need to be your story. So, and that's why I'm kind of, I'm really thankful I met my wife's family. It all started back when I was 6 or 7 years old. I actually got tech-falled at the district's tournament by a kid named Cameron Kelly. I don't know if you know who that is, but
I don't think so.
A lot of people in Ohio do. They know who Cameron Kelly is. He was like a real good stud. I actually drilled with him and Matthew Kolodzic growing up. But the story was he tech followed me at districts, and then my dad walked up to his dad and was like, "Hey, like, how are you getting so good? Like, how did your son get so good so fast?" And he's like, "Well, we go to this camp called Team Jordan, and we practice his moves every single week. We drill those, and that's just what he knows. That's just how he hits them so good." So my dad started sending me to Team Jordan, and I just, you know, developed all these setups, all these shots, and these finishes that Coach Jordan preaches. And it just kind of got me this base of wrestling that I use today. And so I think a lot of people, when they see good wrestlers, they throw out the basics. They're like, "Oh, he hits this super duck so well. And like, he hits this double leg so well. Like, why don't I do that? Like, I need to be more athletic. I need to be more, I need to be stronger." It's like, well, Jordan Burroughs got where he was because of, you know, back then, like all of his basics. Like, he didn't just go on a wrestling mat and double leg some dude. Like, it may happen, but the odds are of that happening. You know, you have to have basics. And I think Coach Jordan did a good job of like showing me a setup to a shot, to a finish. And a lot of coaches, you know, they skip, you know, maybe one or two of those, and then they just go, you know, hit this move. It just doesn't work like that. And I think, and then also the guys that I had at Team Jordan, you know, we had, like I said, we were state champs. I think my senior year, we got done with 20 state titles in a row. And so that in itself, and we won the national title my junior year. So I had a lot of like state champs in my room that I just would go with, and Division I athletes. Yep. And so I think when you see me have success in college, I think I credit that to a lot of my growing, my upcoming, and then my just, I don't know, just Team Jordan and all that stuff. So it's all one big thing. And then with my family, you know, when I say dysfunction, it's a lot of stuff building up over the years that I, you know, when you're young, you don't really see. You're like, "Oh, my parents are this, my parents are that." And I actually was watching a podcast. I can't remember what it was, but when you're younger, you look up to your parents so much, in which a lot of people still do when you're older. And but then you realize that they're real people. They deal with a lot of real things that we don't see. And they try to make a childhood so perfect, which is great. But when you get older, you start realizing that life is tough. Life is, you know, it's life. Yeah. Like you have adulthood, and then it's like, what do you want to make your adulthood like? And so I think seeing Mariah's family, the way that they operated, the Stickleys, you know, her grandma and grandpa, I just saw them, and they're living on the farm. It's simple life, but they work hard. They treat each other with love, with respect, and Jesus is all on that, built on that. It's all built on that rock. So it's like, it's not just love and respect from nowhere. It's, they have a foundation, and it's Jesus. So that's what I wanted to, that's what I wanted in my life.
And having that perspective is so crucial. And I'm curious too, you were like, you only lost, I think, 4 times in all of high school. I'm curious, when you have that much success, what your perspective is after a loss, and how you kind of rebound and not dwell too much on it and get right back out there. And I know how I am. Sometimes it takes me a little bit to get over it in life and business, whatever. But I'm curious, dealing with such few losses, how you kind of overcame that and maintained that proper perspective throughout it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you never forget losses. I mean, I remember my losses way more than my wins, honestly. Yeah. You know, I can tell you who I lost to, and I really can't remember like who I wrestled in the state finals, like my junior year. Like I just can't remember his name. Like it happens. But like I said, you know, it's gotta be, if you don't forget it, you gotta use it in a way that like fuels you. You know, you can't let it. And I remember in high school, or sometime Bo Jordan was talking to me, one of my teammates, and he's just like, you know, you got to have short-term memory with that stuff. Like, and what he's saying is keep the main thing the main thing, because when it's the sole focus, when you lose, it will beat you down. And obviously in life, like, not just wrestling, like if you make mistakes and it breaks you down and you don't have God in your life, it will be, I mean, it's demeaning. So it'll fall under that foundation. Like if wrestling's your foundation, it'll fall under. And so if you don't have something, I want to say, like, obviously God is my foundation, but a lot of people, it's sad to think that if it's not theirs, once they lose, that's their whole world. Yep. And so I think that's why I've adapted to losses and just losses in life, you know, with losing Eli.
Yeah.
I knew where he was going. And I know where I'm going. So it's a win for him. I mean, technically, like, and it's a win for us because he's going where he wants to go. Yeah. And so when you look, and that's our selfish minds of saying, like, no, like, we lost him, but he's gaining, you know, his real home. So.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, before we start talking about your college career, I don't want to go too far into this episode with talking about faith too, from the aspect of when it started shaping your career. You know, I've always been a Penn State guy, and one of my good buddies, Dan Tomaso, he's assistant pastor at the church I go to, Calvary Chapel Westside. And he always used to root for you, not used to, he does, because of your Jesus shirt, right? Like, he sees it, and it's like, as a Christian, if you see someone wearing a shirt that says Jesus, it's impossible not to root for them. And I'm curious at when your faith really started shaping your career, like when you felt that impact in the career.
Yeah, I think first off, when I say I'm a Jesus follower and I'm a Christian, that doesn't mean that I'm going to just win automatically.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not trying to, and Nathan Bierak, he's like a discipler of mine. Like he disciples me and he teaches me a lot, but what he always says is don't use God as a lucky rabbit's foot. Don't use him as like a, you can use him as strength. You can use him as motivation and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because Christ died for us. We should live for him. We should compete for him. But when you use them as like, I'm going to say this prayer so I can win.
Yeah.
That's not what I do. I don't use this shirt. I don't use the shirt to win. And what I do, is use the shirt because I have this platform, like you're saying, like, if I wear it and some little kid says, oh, what's Jesus? Like, who's Jesus? Like, and maybe they look it up. Maybe their parents say, oh, that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like he died on the cross for our sins. And we don't have to pay that price because he did. And that's why I wear that. And so when I started to notice a difference, I guess, was when I met my wife back in 2011, I saw her Bible and it was beat to crap. Like it was, she used it so much. And like mine was like perfect. And mine was like, it had a little bit of dust on it. And like, I just wasn't like, I just used it as like maybe like a placeholder on my desk. I could just like sat there a little bit and like I knew John 3:16 and past that probably not. And so but then when I was in junior high, so like I didn't know a whole lot, but I didn't grow up as versed and well versed in the Bible. So when I got older, my wife started just taking me to church a lot and just we read the Bible a lot. We read a couple books. I probably have a couple of them right by me, but it just being by her and then knowing and her dad and we actually had Bible studies in high school. Graham had a couple of Bible studies that we voluntarily went to. It wasn't mandatory, you know. So Coach Jordan gave us an option, and then right now I do Athletes in Action. So it's just being in the Bible. You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, the Bible is obviously, you know, it's the Word of God, but and that's all you need, really. You need to pray and read the Word of God. So,
and it's funny you talk about praying not to win. I learned, like, I don't know, years ago, I started realizing that, like, I need to stop praying for people to win. Like, when my buddies, when my clients are like competing, it's natural to pray. But I've learned that instead of like praying for like them to win, I kind of change my prayers to be like, look at winning and losing. I'm sure there's many matches, there's people praying for victory on both sides. So I just start praying for health, for focus, for discipline, you know, just like those things that you can control.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of keep weaving in and out of your faith. I'm curious, you know, when your junior and senior year in high school, you were undefeated, state champion. And then when you get to college, it's like a whole new world, right? New talent pool. You're no longer like, you're still an all-star, but you're not like the guy. What was that transition to college like?
It was tough. Like my freshman year, it was definitely tough. I had guys like Mike Evans who was beating up on me. And like, he just had that season. He was a seasoned veteran. He was graduated. So he was like, he had like heavy hands and all that stuff he could ride. And then Morningstar was beating up on me. So I wasn't really getting, and then Alex Meyer, he had those heavy hips. So like I was getting beat up, and like every once in a while I'd go with someone that I can beat up, and I just had more experience over, but I took my beating. It was tough, but I went to the Midlands and ended up not doing as good as I wanted to. Got pinned by Anthony Valencia in a cradle, and I just learned not to put my head to my knee. Yeah. But other than that, it was a good learning experience. I mean, Tom and Terry talked about not getting a takedown until Christmas time, like their freshman year. So it's like you got to keep it in perspective, keep the main thing, and don't let it derail you, or don't stay in that slump. You know, if you're in a slump your freshman year, you know, use it to get better. And one thing that I was going to say about my faith is a little kind of random, but Nathan Bierak always tells me, you know, if you're praying for a certain thing, like if I pray, you know, if I always say like for me, like if I work on cussing, like no one, like what you say and what you do should be to glorify God. So yeah. Cussing just doesn't really work in there. So yeah. If I'm cussing, or if I say a cuss word, you know, I don't want to focus on like, don't cuss. 'Cause you're going to think about it. Right. But like, if I say, praise God, then everything should help. Everything should fall in line with that. Yeah. Like and glorify God. What am I doing to glorify God? Am I saying the right things? Am I doing the right things? And that's like going into a match. Like I don't pray in a certain way that's like, it that's detriment to my wrestling. I pray like glorify God. Well, yeah. What does that look like? I'm wrestling with power, with all my might, like because He gave me this. And so that's one thing that like I just wanted to touch on. Like, you know, your prayer is so powerful, and like you're talking to God, and like a lot of times we don't, and we go through the like our daily activities just like willy-nilly, like whatever we do, it'll affect us like to my advantage. But everything you do, and I was talking with Mariah's cousin Justin Stickley on her way up to Iowa, and he's like, do you think that every life choice is a selfish choice? And I'm like, real, in a sense, yes. Like in a sense, you're giving, like you give to people, but like do you have satisfaction with that?
Yeah.
But like it, and if you don't, like in like every choice is like a godly choice, and a like, and you do it for God's glory, then really no, like it's not selfish. So it's like, what's your perspective on it, I guess?
And it's funny you mention cussing. Like I was just telling my wife, like we're so quick when we get pissed off to say something, and mm-hmm. then like I get super convicted right away. And you know, I can't remember who I heard say it. Maybe it was my pastor, but it was along the lines of like, you know, I don't think he was specifically just talking about swearing, but he's like, similar to what you just said, it's not about telling yourself don't swear. It's about telling yourself be holy because God's holy. Mm-hmm. You know, don't not do something, but doing something, which just happens to be the opposite. And I know it sounds like your wife's been such a godly influence to you. Mm-hmm. And you got married young. Reminds me of mm-hmm. Nolf getting married young. You know, and it's funny because God's got such a different plan for everybody. Like, I worked my whole 20s seeking God for a wife, and then I didn't get married till I was like 32. I'm mm-hmm. curious, you know, how you manage that of not getting distracted and using that relationship. Because, I mean, I didn't go to college, but I see a lot of people who get into relationships in college, and it destroys mm-hmm. them, distracts them. They get into a toxic relationship. I'm curious how you use that relationship to help keep your focus, not distract you.
Yeah, I think you want. The Terry film, right? The yep. Terry documentary.
Yeah.
So he said, find a woman that enhances your life. And so when you do that in college, or anytime. In college wrestling, really, it will, and she enhances your life. You will have no problem staying focused. And she won't keep you from practices. She'll kick you to the practice. Like, she'll be like, you know, you need to get to practice, whatever. She'll make sure you're eating right. And I think that's one thing, you know, a lot of my friends see in Mariah, like, she's rare. Everyone knows she's awesome. And I found, you know, a perfect woman. But what people don't see is like how hard she's worked at, you know, just what she preaches. And so yeah. I feel like, you know, just finding the right girl, you know, and being her being who she is. I mean, it just didn't. And when I got married, it really just, it made everything easier. I mean, obviously, like,
that's
it just
how
it
a good, does. That's how a good marriage and a good relationship should be. Yeah, 100%.
Exactly. And I don't know if you know who Andy Mineo is, but, yep. He's like one of my favorite all time favorite artists. Like, yep. and I say rapper and artist because a lot of people are like, oh, who's Andy Mineo? And if I say Christian rapper, they're like, oh, like, okay, like, I'll go look him up, whatever. But then they never do. But like, Andy Mineo has said, like, he doesn't like being labeled as a Christian rapper. Cause like, I don't say you're a Christian podcast. Yeah. Like I say, you're, or like a Christian wrestler. I say you're a wrestler who happens to be a Christian. Yeah. And so like, that's who he is. But he said like in a podcast, like someone was saying, oh, you're getting married. Like, just wait, it's gonna suck. Like, just let me know. And he's never experienced that. Like, he's like, being married is like such a pleasure and such like an honor to God. And like, we obviously have our lumps and like our bruises, but like, we never dwell on it. Like, we grow in faith and like, and it's awesome. Like, we've never experienced that. Like, oh, it sucks. Like, it just, this sucks. Like, why have I been married? You know, it's just never like that. And when you find the right girl, like anyone can say, like, it's an awesome experience. So.
Yeah. And it was awesome kind of seeing a bit of her in that Alex Neely documentary. And, you know, on the topic, my wife and I, as I was telling you, we watched it. It was about a year ago now when it came out, and it was awesome. And the only criticism I'd have of the documentary is, I know, as I told you, as a Christian, I wanted to hear more. So, you know, from a faith standpoint, we didn't really get to hear how your trust in Jesus helped you through those times. We heard about like how your wife helped you. We heard about, you know, the wrestling and all that. But I'm curious at how, when you experienced such a tragedy, how you leaned on Jesus to kind of keep the focus of what you were doing and going on.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Cause like, when I think about it now, I'm like, oh, the people, the fans, like, wrestling community is so small, but it's also so big. Like, yeah. I said that, but really, you know, it's the texts, it's the calls, it's, you know, I'm getting off the treadmill after the day that Eli died or the day after, I'm getting off the treadmill and hugging my trainer and he's telling me God loves you. And like, God is hugging Eli right now. And like, it's getting me choked up. Cause like, Jesus has got us through this. And and Terry texted me one time, you know, God, or Terry, you got to let Eli go because Eli's your earthly brother. Like, he's going to be in heaven with us. And like, and the same with Todd, Eli's dad, like he's his dad, but God's his father. Like, God's like, that's his son. Like, that's, and God, yeah. or Todd is God's son. Like, it's all that. Like, yeah. And obviously God's put us on this earth to be fruitful and multiply and like, and have children. But when it comes down to it, we're all children of God. And so to have that perspective, that's how it's got us through what we've dealt with. And I think, you know, if no one has that hope, it's just sad. Like, you just don't have that foundation. It's just like, where do they go? But, having that foundation, it's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It really is. So
did that event and everything that you endured after, I mean, it happened in July. So it wasn't like you were in the peak of a wrestling season. You really had time to kind of focus on it and digest it. And if I know you, like, I'm starting to, like, to let God minister to you through all that. Mm-hmm. Did your perspective change heading into that next season?
For sure. I mean, I actually wrestled a lot of dual meets and tournaments that I knew Eli would be at, like the Midlands. Like, he was always at the Midlands. Like, it's just, oh, I would see Eli today. Like, I would go talk to him and all that stuff, because I didn't get to see Eli that much because we were just both busy doing college things. I just had a whole different perspective, and you know, Mariah and I we just had a different motive. And it's funny because, you know, the 2 weeks after his accident, I went back to Ohio to like comfort Mariah because their birthday was coming up. Like, it was July 18th. So they were twins and they were going to enjoy a birthday together. And I ended up going home with Mariah to enjoy her birthday with her at home. But I wasn't training as hard as I should have been. Like, it just was hard because like I was home and I wasn't in my element, and a lot of the relatives were like bringing over food. So I got up, like my weight got bad. So I was like, I had to get a reality check.
What did you get up to?
I got up to like 190. So. And you hear like, oh, these like all these guys like can get up to 190 and get their weight down. That's not Alex Marinelli. That's not me. Like that's like chub. That's like thick Marinelli. Like I wasn't getting up like in strength or anything. So like if I get up at a healthy weight, it's probably like 182. Like that's like the highest I should be, you know. And so getting up to 190, I was like, man, I gotta just cut out all the sweets, everything. So yeah.
And you talk about how you're wrestling that year. And speaking of your wrestling, you've continued to make adjustments each year. I always look at WrestleStat before someone comes on here and like refresh my memory of people's matches and stuff. And I was noticing your win percentage went from 76% to 93% to 95%. And sometimes you see a lot of like ups and downs. You see kind of like good year, then maybe even if you can be a four-time national champ and still potentially have ups and downs in your seasons, but overall your seasons seem to continue to grow. What adjustments have you been able to continue to make to continue getting better each year?
I think one big thing is like Tom always preaches to be efficient in your wrestling. So like, I feel like I'm doing things now that like just makes it a lot easier. Like where am I placing my head, like in my hands to get down to my like, and my knees are bent a lot more. So like if your knees are straight, it's going to take that much more time to get down in your stance to hit your shot. So like, so guys can defend it a lot quicker. And so I think just little things, and you know, getting angles, you know, on bottom too. I mean, I struggled with a guy, you know, who's real tall on bottom. Like it just happens, you know. Yeah. And what are you going to do about it? Like, are you going to work out every single day and have Morningstar ride you after practice? And that's just what I'm trying to do. And so I think just taking that next step and taking initiative, like I was talking to a buddy back in Ohio over Christmas, and he's like, hey man, like, what did you do to like, just get out from these guys and like, just ride tough? And I'm like, just practice. Like everyone wants this magic pill, and everyone wants like, you know, like, their coach to touch them and be like, oh, like you got the power and like you have this. Right. Like, no, it just doesn't work like that. Like, you have to today I have practice. Am I gonna go in there and like wrestle live and then leave? Or am I gonna wrestle live and then say, hey man, can you try to ride me like for like a minute and see if you can ride me, and then do it again and be like, oh, like I got out in that 50 seconds. Can you ride me that whole minute? You know what I mean? So just make it fun like that. Cause I think And we have guys like Jay Nierman that I'm like, hey, get on top of me. See if you can, like, even though you're 141, like, you can still ride like me. Yeah. Like, you can still ride me, so try. And so those are the things, like, make it a fun competition. Like, and that's just what I tried to do, so.
Yeah, there's no secret pill for success. It's all hard work. And, you know, I know that one of your things has been you've had such depth at your weight, you know, and obviously, I mentioned Chenzo's my boy. I love him. You guys have had some incredible matches. What has that rivalry been like? And, you know, we both know the Bible says iron sharpens iron, right? I feel like the better your weight class is, I mean, it's just been ridiculous these last couple of years. What has that rivalry and some others meant to you to where you're really out there against literally the absolute best?
Yeah. Obviously, I love competition. I'm born, like, to compete, and I'm born to be a champion. So like that's just like my mentality. Like, I think like I'm born to be a champion, and then on my headstone, they'll write champion. And so like, if I think that, then I should be up for all these matches that I'm having, like all these good guys. And I've said, like, I'm thankful that these guys demand my best. Like, I don't have to, I can't just go out there and be like, oh, I'm going to put on my shoes and like, I'm going to whoop this dude's butt. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, every match that I've had this past year, like, I've had to, I'm exhausted after. It's just, I'm happy for that. And, you know, and I experienced my first loss in Carver, and it's just those things like have made me better. And, and wrestling Vincenzo, you know, you bring it up, like, I watched him in high school. I never wrestled him in high school. So I was like, oh, I want to wrestle him real bad. And I got to a lot. And so it's been fun. It's like, it's lived up to the hype for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful for that. And a lot of people are like, oh, I love watching you guys wrestle. And I'm thankful for that. And it just, you know, it builds his brand. It builds my brand. It just builds like wrestling community in general. So it's great.
Yeah. And, you know, you've had some incredible wins and you've also had some heartbreaking losses. And, you know, we'll talk about 2020 a minute, but I know in 2019 specifically, your Big Ten champ looked unreal, even though I didn't like it as a Chenso guy. But
yeah,
you know, going into that NCAA tournament, you didn't perform like you did in the Big Tens, or at least have the same outcome. What do you think was the difference there? And what did you take away after that year to say, hey, I wrestled the Big Tens like I wanted. I didn't finish the NCAA tournament like I wanted. What was your perspective after that tournament?
Ooh, that's tough. I think finish holds like it's, or going to each match like it's the finals. Like, like each guy is like trying to knock you off because you're an Iowa guy, first of all. And like, and when you're on a leg, it could be your last shot. Like, it could be like your last chance to score. So like when I was in that quarterfinals match with Makai, like I it's hard for me to watch the match. Like it is like anyone that loses, like you don't want to watch it, but I have to. Like, and Tom's happy that I do. Like, and he's like, every now and then he'll be like, hey, like, do you remember what happened? Like, do you remember why you lost? Like, and I would just remember, you know, obviously I could have taken more shots. Like, anyone can say like, oh, I should have shot more, or, but no, like just finish on the shot you had and you would have won the match. Like, it, you know what I mean? Or it would have been a lot better for you to win. And so I was in on that shot and just thinking like, that could be your last shot or that could be your last chance to win. And so, and go out with a bang, and guys are trying to knock you off because they know it's the Nationals. I mean, it's just, I'm over losing. So I'm going into this Nationals this year just for blood, really. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk about that 1 second, but also, you know, from a mindset standpoint, right? The day after the tournament, I've heard so many different perspectives for you, you know, and as a Christian, does that help you cope with that to where you're not over dwelling on a loss? I hear some guys that dwell hard on a loss, and I hear other guys that, like, you know, I know when Gilman came on here, he's like, I woke up the next day, I looked in the mirror, said, you're not an NCAA champion, and got back to work. And I'm like, dang, like, that takes some grit to just get right back on and not dwell. What's your mindset after a tournament like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'd do a little bit of like what Gilman's doing, but it's harder than that, man. Like, for me, like, obviously, like, I don't know how hard it is for Gilman. I don't want to speak for him, but like, I want to say that, like, I deal with demons. Everyone does. And like, I internalize a lot of things. So like, I don't speak my mind much. Like, if I'm thinking of things, I'll think about it myself. Like, I don't really, but I dream a lot too. So like, I'm dreaming of like, every now and then I'll dream of that I lost to Makai Lewis, and Tom and Terry just are talking to me. It's just, it's a nightmare over and over. So like,
I can't imagine that.
But it fuels me. Like, I try to not let that like be like a downer on my whole day. Like, I wake up with the mindset that like, I need to change this. Like, I'm already sweating right now thinking about it. Like, I need to change it. I need to go to practice and get a good workout in and just devote my time to that. But one thing that I've always been taught, and Nathan Bierak told me a while ago when I lost, is that Jesus or God doesn't waste hurt. Like, he doesn't waste pain.
Amen.
So like, he uses pain. And so like, when I lose, God will use that pain for something good. And so like, everything in life and God is good, and everything will be used for good. And when you think about that, like, everyone's like, oh, well, there's so much cancer in the world. There's so much death and there's so much hurt and pain. Well, what are you going to do with that pain? Like, are you just going to keep saying like, oh, there's so much hurt and pain, so I'm just going to like go down this hole?
Yeah.
No, you're going to get better and you're going to glorify God and show that like why this happened, and God tests your faith through it. And so that's what I've, you know, how I've coped with the loss and dealt with it. So.
Yeah. And it's funny. I was just on Brandon Slay's podcast, Greater Gold. And we were talking about enduring trials and tribulations, and I can't wait for him to put this out because I want to reshare it. But, you know, I've learned that in my life, the more you go through, the more you can minister to someone. And that also gives me a lot of peace. When I go through a storm, I know on the other side, God is going to use that to minister to others. And there's something about saying to somebody, I've been there, and you can relate. That's powerful to someone, and God can really use you. And in many cases, if you can't tell somebody that you've been there and you've been in that exact storm, you're not going to minister to them as well as somebody who has been through that and came out of it. So I think it's super important to embrace storms. And obviously another storm, 2020 has been a wild storm. You know, I hate mentioning it, but you did beat Chenzo at Big Tens. Props to you. You were the number one seed going into NCAA's, season gets canceled. What was your thought process when all that happened?
I'm like,
especially after just telling me how bad you wanted the NCAA's. Like,
I'm like, what is going on? We had our bracket, man. Like, we had like everything was ready. Like, I was like, what is going on? Like, I didn't know what to think. And when you're in that position, like number one seed, and there's only 10 of them, like, you're like, what in the heck is going on? And you feel powerless. Like, you want to be respectful for like everyone, and you want to represent Iowa well. So you're not just going to go on social media and be like, F this, F that, like screw the NCAA. Like, that's just not what you're going to do. Like, you're obviously going to go and be a gentleman about it, and you're going to be respectful. But I mean, obviously you can be sad and everything. And like I was, but also, you know, it's like, I wanted to know more about it. Like, I didn't know, like, all the stuff. Like, it's like, what, like, where are the studies, man? Like, it's just like, where's everything? Like, why this decision? Like, I want to know why. Like, I want to be in the know. Like, I want everything to be transparent to me. And so, but it's like, sometimes you just, life ain't fair. And so, like, Tom always says that, like, sometimes life is not fair, and you have to keep going. And that's one thing that he told us, like, you know, we're dealing with this now, but in a year from now, it's going to make us stronger, and it's going to make us better. And life isn't fair, like, all the time. Like, it's just not. So, and I didn't know what to think. And actually, you know, the day after it happened, Tom's like, hey, take a trip with your guys, and take a trip. And we went on like a little vacation, but it wasn't as fun as it could be. Like, it's like, oh, we literally, the day, like, it was like Thursday, and that was the starting day of the Nationals. And it just felt like, you know, everything that we were doing, it's like, are we going to have the most fun we can have? It was hard to do that. So.
And how much did the team title play into your thoughts after it? Because I know, I can't remember if it was Kemmerer when he was on, somebody was on here, and I was saying, like, this was your year. Like, you guys were poised to win that tournament. And obviously anything can happen. But, you know, how much did the cancellation impact, you know, your thoughts on the team aspect of it, where you guys are such a tight-knit group of guys, and you're the favorites heading into it, and you kind of lose that opportunity? How much did that factor into that sadness of it being canceled?
I mean, I think about it every day. I just went home, and I was talking about it with the Jordans and the Stickleys, and I actually was talking with Jim Jordan, the congressman of Ohio, from Ohio, and I said, hey, I should have been visiting you this year. Like, I should have been, you know, I should have visited Donald J. Trump. Like, I should have, we as a team, like, we should have visited the White House. Like, and obviously, like, that's not the whole motivation, but I'm just saying, like, the things that come with it, the things that, like, you know, you, like, it hasn't been done since 2010, and like, all the fans are waiting, and like, they're obviously, like, some are very impatient, like, and it's just like, you want to give them that, and you know, you want to do it for like your boys, and you want to do it for Iowa as a nation. And like, it sucks, man. Like, it's tough. Like, it's really tough. But I can't, everyone has experienced bad things like in this year, so I can't let it be like, you know, I'm the only one experiencing bad things. You know, I mean, freaking Kobe died. That's one thing. It's like, you know, it's just like crazy. 2020 is crazy. So
it's wild. And speaking of having that like burning desire for that team title, you know, you're now, you know, everybody's kind of getting a free year. So you're likely going to compete for the next 2 years. What is your expectations for the team in 2021 and 2022 as far as winning a team? I can see the smile on your face. If you're listening to this and you're not watching the video, Alex just starts smiling, lights up. What is your expectations for the team for these next 2 years?
Undefeated national champs. I believe it'll be like last year. You know, we had close duels, but it will beat Iowa 2021 national champs, 2022 national champs. And we're going to be bringing in good recruits. We're going to be bringing in a lot of recruits that helped the team like last year and years before. And we're going to be back. And I mean, we've never left, but we're going to be back on top. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying that in a cocky way, like, but anyone in wrestling who knows wrestling knows that we have some good firepower this year, that we filled one spot. We filled a guy that left. And obviously we had a lot of seniors that left that helped the team, you know, that were backups, and we were really deep, but we're so deep now. And everyone knows that. And like, we had a huge freshman class, and I'm just excited. I'm excited for Jaden Ironman. I'm excited for Spencer Lee. I'm excited for everyone who is, you know, competing. And Jaden Ironman hasn't competed in an Iowa singlet, and he's like super, super pumped to do that. Obviously, you can see his social media. He always posts on social media, so it's like, you know, he's like excited to wear that Iowa singlet. So I'm just excited to, you know, get a schedule. To be honest, I mean,
have you guys like, got a schedule yet?
We haven't yet. We have not. I mean,
that's wild.
And here's the thing though. I will wrestle tomorrow. Like, I'll get my weight down. I'll get it down tomorrow. Like,
you're not at 190 no more.
No, heck no. Like, I might be like 10 over, but that's like, that's easy to get down. Like, I can lose like 7 or 8 in a workout, like, if I needed to. You know what I mean? Like, that's just me. But I don't care who we wrestle. I don't care if it's, you know, the freaking whoever, like the Russians. I don't care if they put that on the schedule. Like, we just need to wrestle, and then we need to go out there and wrestle nationals in St. Louis and have a good tournament, and everyone will be like, man, we are thankful we put that on. So that's Tom always preaches, just stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So
yeah, and I saw on your Instagram Q&A the other day that you put folk style over freestyle, which is interesting because so many guys favor freestyle because that's the path to world and Olympic gold. And I'm curious, you love folk style more than freestyle?
I grew up wrestling folk style. So that's just like what I've known. And like in high school, I didn't know, like the first time I wrestled a freestyle tournament was in Vegas when I was in college. So like,
that's wild.
Good, yeah. That's a pretty good tournament to like start on. So yeah. The reason why I say that too is because like, there's no overtime. So like that kind of, I just don't like that. There's just a little, like the rules in general, like, obviously I like Olympic wrestling, and freestyle wrestling is the Olympic level. But like, if I could change some rules, obviously I'd change like the criteria and all that stuff. Cause it's like the score is ultimately tied. So like, if you do criteria in a foot, do you do criteria in a football game? It's just no, like you just don't, you play it out. And like, and same with basketball. Like, it's just, it's like, oh, who scored more threes or score more twos? It's just, it just doesn't happen. So like, when you think about that, like, you're like, oh, maybe that would make sense to have overtime. But, and they used to, I mean, I'm pretty sure Morningstar told me they had like crazy overtime rules and stuff, but, and that's just, I don't know. Like, it's exciting when you five guys and you can slam them and lock your hands and throw people. But, other than that, that's why I'd probably pick folk style over freestyle.
Yeah. And I know the match didn't go your way, but you recently wrestled freestyle. You wrestled James Green. How good did it feel to just get back out on the mat in an actual like match, a competition?
It was nice. It was hard to keep my like emotion under control and like in control. Cause like I was, you know, obviously I was like, man, I want to go out and just like tech this guy, but this James Green, he's not some like slump. So like, I just want to go out there and compete. And it was fun, like weighing in with my guys and like eating after. It's just like that whole routine. It's just like you want that back. And so like you got it back, and I'm super thankful that Tom put that on. And it's just, you want more competitions like that. So it's like, it sucks that I lost because we haven't had one. So, I mean, you gotta make the most of it. And I always say that to my teammates and I always say that to myself. So, I gotta maybe practice when I preach a little more. So,
and do you have a freestyle or a senior level plan right now? Or are you just kind of, everything's right on Iowa, right on folk style, or are you kind of starting that plan of like what you want to do on the senior level?
Obviously right now, like I'm really just focused on, like folk style as a whole. But then, you know, like if freestyle is my plan, I'm doing it. Like my goal in life, like if I'm going to keep wrestling, my goal is to be an Olympic and national or world champ. Like I will not compete with the intent of just throwing my hat in the ring. You know, like I'm going to compete with intent. And I always tell this to like Kemmer and a couple of my buddies, like, I'm not just going to go and wrestle Hawkeye Wrestling Club just because it's a paycheck. I'm going to go and I'm going to wrestle for intent and I'm going to go to compete and win. Like, I'm not going to go to just say like, oh, I'm on the Hawkeye Wrestling Club, promote the club, like whatever. Like, no, like, and if not, like I'm going to coach. Like that's my goal, is to be a Division I coach. Hopefully at Iowa, like somewhere like this. But if not, like, and my body is feeling good and I'm up for it, like, I'm going to go compete and, for the Hawkeye Wrestling Club. And I'm just getting better. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's what's good about the sport and where I'm at is like, I can get so much better freestyle. Like, I haven't really, like, I've only been to a handful of practices and my teammates laugh at me because they're like, oh, you've been to a lot, you practice a lot. Like, you've done a lot of practice. And I'm like, yeah, but like, not as much as folk style. Like I really like, it's like not even close. And so like, when you say like, oh, I've been to a lot of practices, it's like, dude, like just think of how many practices we went to in high school. Like I practiced 2 times a day and I was working on folk style. Like just imagine if I did freestyle with that, like it's just, you know, and now I have the opportunity to, if I want. So, yeah.
Last thing I want to talk to you about for a minute. You finally joined Instagram. Finally, I'm curious of what went into joining Instagram and also when the heck you're going to join Twitter, because Twitter is like where it's at in the wrestling community. Like Twitter is where it's at. But first, what finally led you to joining Instagram?
A couple reasons. So one of the reasons was there was a lot of fake Alex Marinelli Instagrams and they wanted to be me, I guess. I don't get it. I'm like, why don't you just be yourself? Like, why do you have to be me? And I was like, hey Tom, like one day I was like, hey Tom, we were working out and I was like, hey, like, should I just make an Instagram? Cause like, there's a lot of weird people out there that want to be me. I don't know. I don't get it. And Tom's like, yeah, just make one. Like, it'll be good for you. Like if you don't want to run it, just have Mariah run it. And you can like you can obviously build like that. Another reason is like you can build your brand, like like the name, image, and likeness stuff is coming up, so like we can make some money. And I get that, but obviously like I it doesn't affect me, so I run it. Like if like a lot of people are like, oh, he's not on it, like that's not him, like that's me. So if you're like ever, if I'm ever answering questions, like that's me. So but like it, one of the main reasons is like I want it to be my profile, not some Joe Schmo at the county fair. So,
well, and I mean, we build a lot of websites and have built them for a lot of wrestlers. And I tell everybody, like, you should own your own domain name, whatever your name is.com. You should own that. You should have a profile everywhere. If nothing else, just let it sit there and accrue followers. You know, even on Twitter, the amount of people that want to tag you, even, whether it's Iowa, Big Ten, whether it's something like the Alex and Eli documentary, where everybody's engaged in the conversation. Like, it's so crucial. Even if you don't use it, just establish the profile. Put one or two things out there so people know it's yours. And just let it sit there. And when you want to have it, it's much better to have that asset than to not have it. But so are we going to see you on Twitter now?
Possibly. Like, I have to do it, you know, with intent of building and sharing and using my platform right. So like, I, you know what I mean, like I just, and that's the thing, like my freshman, actually when I was younger in high school, I had an Instagram, like I had all that stuff, Twitter, Instagram, and a lot of people are like, oh, you shouldn't have deleted it. But I mean, honestly, like it is stress-free without social media. It really is. Like you can take your time, like, and you can like, yeah, exactly. So like, and people don't know really what makes you tick, like all that stuff. So but if you use it in a way that's like I mean, if you use it that promote in a way that promotes yourself, and you can, you know, just like, I don't know, just use it in your advantage. I don't know. I we'll see. I mean, Twitter's like a lot more like talking and dialogue and stuff. So I would have to be more like thoughtful of what I like post. I don't know, but definitely in the future, I'd say.
Yeah. And there's guys like, you know, even Spencer doesn't tweet too much, but he retweets a lot of stuff.
Retweets,
you know,
he
reshares a lot of stuff. And, you know, I think as you have a platform, and as a Christian, as God gives you a platform, like, I love being able to help guys like you tell their story and then letting you simply press retweet and share that story with your entire audience to help. You know, it's hard to create content. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And for many people, it's not easy to sit down, create the content, share it. But if you can go on a podcast, and podcasts and all these media platforms are only growing, and if you can just, even just to have a Twitter to reshare the content around you to get your story out there, it's good. So, you know, I always recommend it. I think it has its negatives without a doubt, but to use it, especially as a Christian athlete, and to get those interviews and get those stories out there, so that people can hear that and you can continue to use your platform for good, I think is an amazing thing.
For sure. I mean, look at Tim Tebow. He's like, I mean, I'm like super motivated by his, like, one of the videos that he had, like when he wore John 3:16, he had like millions of people look it up when he wore it. Yeah. And obviously he's college football. Like, that's a lot. That's the money maker, but it's like, and a lot more it's a lot more viewers, but you know, that's just the opportunity that we have as athletes, as college athletes. And like, it's like, why not do that? And Nathan Bierak always says, like, when you post or when you get on social media, what is your intentions? Like, what are you trying to self glorify? Or, and obviously you want to build your brand and like, there's money to be made, but like, is it in the right way? So that's the motivation and the goal to that. So.
I love it. I look forward to seeing you on Twitter. Look forward to seeing more Instagram posts. Do you know at this point when you're competing next, or are you just kind of holding out for the Iowa schedule?
I'm kind of holding out. I think we were trying to do like an event or whatever, but it's just a lot of things going on with COVID, man. Like even if like I don't agree with it, like you got to go with it. And like, just kind of holding out and just being ready. And whether we duel Rutgers in Maryland, whether we duel Ohio State, Penn State, I mean, it's just, I'm ready. So.
And is there, if you know, these freestyle cards, there's so many of them, I love them. Is there a match you want specifically? I keep asking this to people because I'm so fascinated by what their responses are. Is there someone you want, if whether it's a Hawkeye club card, whether it's another card, and you could have one match, is there a match of mine that you want?
I mean, you could go college route or senior level. I would say for college route, I go Makai Lewis, obviously. And then for senior level, either Chamizo, Burrows, or Sitikov. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I want the best. Like, I want the best. Like, and people are probably like laughing when I say that. But like, why wouldn't you want to wrestle Frank Chamizo to like feel him and like see where you're at and like. And the same with Burrows, like obviously the price is going to be hefty to get them, but like, but like, I'll try to save some money for the club and not let them win. Like, it's just like, like, it's just, and just, that's just what's fun about it. Like, going out there and seeing what you can do. And it's not a shot at, like, it's not like calling them out or anything. I hate that. Cause it's like, why wouldn't you just want to go and compete like, and see where you're at. It's not calling them out to see who's like, to be like, oh, I'm tougher than you, cause you're not wrestling me. Yeah. It's like, no.
It's healthy competition. And that's one thing I love about all these cards. It's like, if you want to be an NCAA World Olympic champion, you need to wrestle the best. You need to see where you're at. You need to see what improvements you need to make. I forgot who was just on that I was talking about that with, like, you know, they're saying like, I don't care if I lose. Like, I don't want to lose, but if I do, I know exactly what I need to work on. Of course, like, you want that. Like, you know, we're talking about the things you gain from losses, where you can improve and all that. And I definitely think it's crucial that, and I love that all these cards are happening. People are, you know, it's some of it. Chenzo and I talked about it on the podcast last week about calling people out. And, you know, I think when you're doing it for the right cause and the right way, it can be good. But when you're just trash talking just to draw attention to yourself, that's dumb. Yeah. I don't like that stuff.
Or like you want like a paycheck. Like sometimes it's like, oh, now that like people are giving money, like, are you just wanting to get a paycheck? Right. Like it just sometimes just doesn't make sense to me. And it's just gotta be the right matchup. So yeah, like, I like what you're saying. So.
Yeah. I love it. Awesome, man. I'm gonna let you go get ready for practice. Thank you. I appreciate taking some time today coming on. I can't wait to get this out there and hopefully we motivate some kids. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on.
So. Awesome, man. Anytime.
Hope you had a good Christmas. Yep.
Christmas was great, man. Aside from my brother-in-law being a punk, we had a great Christmas.
Yeah, it happened. We have those.
For sure, man. Awesome. Have a good day, man. We'll talk soon. And that is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. If you did enjoy this episode of the podcast, be sure to leave a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on more episodes. For more wrestling content, be sure to follow Bash Mania on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And follow me. I'm at JBash on Instagram and at Justin J Bash on Twitter. I'll be back with another episode shortly. See ya.
And the beat goes on.